Welcome to another life-changing message from Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com. Yeah.
Well, bless the name of Jesus. I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful for the opportunity to share with you. My wife sends her love as well, and our children, and I'm grateful to be here with you. This is a great place. When I go places to share the Word of God and do what God has called me to do, your pastor and this house, people hear about you. Amen. And I want to say that I want to admonish you to value the environment that God has placed you in to flourish. Adam did not value the place that God planted him to flourish. And as a result, he could not return back to Eden. When you don't value the place and position that God has placed you in to flourish, you will leave that place with the lessons of what you of the season of not valuing, but you may not ever be able to return. It's called consequences. But here's what I want to say to you. The Lord has showed me that in this particular house, I know it's already been declared and said to you, but this is a revival hub. This is a revival hub. What that in essence means that anything that dead that walks in must come back to life. People whose relationship to the Lord has become dead because of religion and tradition, when they walk through the door, must come back to life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so I want you to receive what the Lord will share with you today through what I'm going to share. But I want you to understand where you are. Don't take for granted the place you've been planted. This is your Eden. Are you hearing me? This is your Eden. God told Adam two things in the garden. He said, dress it and keep it. He said, dress it and keep it. Now, I'm going to share some things about Adam today that's going to help you. He said, dress it and keep it. Now, I'm going to jump on the back end and talk about the keeping. That word keeping is a prophetic term. It is the word shamar. It means to guard. Because Adam did not guard the place where he was planted, he was plucked out of that place because he left his position or place of keeping, of keeping the garden. In the gate, that means that Adam technically was the first prophetic voice on the earth, in the earth realm. Because prophets have the responsibility to guard, to shamar. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So he left his place. Now watch this. Genesis chapter 1. This is not where I'm going. But Genesis, when Eve, we like to put the blame on her. But the Bible says that Adam was with her when she was deceived. Go read it. Go read it. It says Adam was there with her. I'm just saying. He was there to guard and to keep, which means that God gave him the spirit of discernment. You can't guard and keep if you can't discern. Discern the place you're planted. Value the place where you're planted. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because of who you are. God has said that many things about this house prophetically, but this is a revival hub. Anything dead must come back to life. And anybody sent from here is meant to bring dead things back to life. The anointing that flows in a house ought to flow in your life. When you connect to a house, you connect to the anointing of that house. And that anointing is supposed to flow in every area of your life. So if your finances are dead, the oil of revival is flowing in the house. So it will flow in your finances. And I decree and declare over your life that you will not live under a season of poverty. You will not live under a season of being in debt and being in bondage. But you shall live under an open heaven. Adam lived under an open heaven. This is why God never corrected Adam when he named the animals. Because Adam had the nature and likeness of God. Whatever Adam called it, God called it. That's why the Bible says, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loose. Heaven stands with you because of who's in you. And what's in you must come out of you. So you are a revival hub. Now watch this. Your pastor said this. And I went, you probably saw me going crazy over there when he said John 17:20. The verse says, it says, and I have given them the glory that was given to me. I've given it to them. But here is why it's given to them. That they may be one. The thing that will dilute an anointing is when there is dysfunction and when there is division. When God gives you territory to gain, I want you to hear this. He's going to give you what you need to gain that territory. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so Jesus said, glory has been given to you so that you might be united. But what we find in the body of Christ is everybody wants to be celebrated for their individual anointing, their individual gifting, their individual calling. Jesus said, I called you and you and you and gave you glory so that you might be one body. What I came to talk about is living in the spirit realm. Now let me say this to you. I'm gonna give you four things. I want you, not points, this is just building, all right? Here's four things you need to understand. In the spirit realm, there are levels, there are doors, there are keys, there are realms. And there are what we call, what's the other word I'm looking for? Levels, keys, doors, realms. And the fifth one, let me get this here, because I want to make sure you get it. Hallelujah. Dimensions. Levels are earthly. Levels are earthly. Levels are earthly. Remember when Jesus says to Peter, when he gets the revelation of who Christ is, he says to him, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Keys deal with access, but keys must go to a door. Jesus said, I am the door. Any man that comes into the sheepfold by any other way is a thief and a robber. That means they broke in because they did not have a key. But keys are given to those with revelation. Revelation comes by waiting. Revelation does not come by rushing. I can't speed date my way in this thing. I've got to court my way in this thing with God. And so God goes through a process with us of courting so we get to know who he is. The more we are enthralled, the more we are connected to who he is, the deeper the relationship goes. The deeper the relationship goes, the deeper the revelation you get of who he is. So right now on the surface, you may know him just as a provider because he paid a little bill or he helped you get through a little situation or he took care of a little thing. And God said, no, 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 I want you to know me as an investor. You just want to know me as a provider. That's welfare mentality. I want to make you an investor. That takes deep, intimate connection with God that goes beyond courting. It goes into a deeper place. We talk about this in the Tabernacle of Moses, the holy place. That's when you have deep insight as to who God is that comes, watch this, by way of trials and tribulations. You only know how committed I am to you when storms come. And so God says, some of you have been in the courting stage. I want to take you deeper, which means that you're going to know me as more than the one to help you pay your rent. You're going to be, come to know me as the one who helped you set up an enterprise on earth. You're going to come to know me as the one that gave you houses and land and property because you followed my strategy. Watch this. The deeper we go in our relationship with God, the more access we also gain to who he is, and watch this, the more access we gain to the spirit realm. Now, I want to say these thoughts that I think are important. The gateway to the spirit realm is the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, you don't have access to the spirit realm completely unless you're given to Satan. Then you have access from a different perspective. So let's go real quick to Genesis chapter 2. Living in the spirit realm is going to help us gain a little bit more perspective. I just want to read one verse, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. It says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Man became a living soul. There's so much here that I'm going to try to unpack. I'm going to try to do it so that you can get it. And walk away with something, all right? Here we find God as the first one to sow seed. What does he sow the seed of? He sows the seed of himself. Everything else God spoke into existence, right? He called it from nothing to something, right? Everything else he speaks to. When it comes to Adam, he gets his hands dirty. God says, I'm going to come down, and I'm going to get in the dirt, and I'm going to get busy. When he finished doing that, the Bible says he could have just said, Adam, get up. He could have just spoke him into life, right? He didn't do that. The Bible says he breathes into him. God says, if you're going to be able to do what I need you to do in the earth realm, you got to have me in you. It doesn't matter what's covering you, but what's in you is important. Yeah, yeah. And so God breathes the breath of life into Adam. Now watch this. That means that Adam now has access to the spirit realm. Until then, he is only on the earth realm. He is only connected to the earth. But when God breathes into him, he now, the gateway, the doorway to the spirit realm is open to Adam. It's open to Adam. He also now has access to the supernatural realm. And God calls Adam to bring, watch this, Adam is called, considered a vice regent in the earth. In other words, God gives him the authority that God has in the heavens. He delegates it to Adam to rule and to reign and to move in the earth. And when he gives him this ability to move and to reign and to rule in the earth, now let me say this, it does not mean that we're called to rule and reign people. But we're called to rule and reign systems. So God sets up every system before Adam exists. He sets up the animal kingdom. He sets up a planet and vegetation. All of these are kingdoms that Adam is called to govern. And Adam is called to pull down what is in the heavens, how heaven's systems operate. Adam is called to run earth to be identical twin to the heavens. So God says, if you're going to do that, you've got to have me. You can't do that and not have me. This is why the Bible says that he was created in the image and in the likeness of God. That means he looks like God and he has the nature and character of God. So everything that Adam does is exactly how God would have done it. Adam becomes, watch this, the first prototype. He becomes the first prototype of humanity that begins to walk in the supernatural. I'm going to prove it to you. Now, based upon research, it has been determined that Eden was as big as Florida or California. It wasn't a little garden in somebody's backyard. You understand what I'm saying? It wasn't just a little safari. This thing was huge. Because watch this. It had to be able to house four rivers. A river couldn't be in somebody's backyard. Or just on an acre of land. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Rivers run through states. And so Eden had to be as big as Florida or California. Now watch this. I'm going somewhere. It also had to, because it housed all of the animals that God created, everything was housed in Eden. Now watch this. The bedrock of all revelation is found in Genesis. If we misinterpret Genesis, we misinterpret the entire Bible. Because within the book of Genesis is the law, is what we call the law first mentions, but is also we see prototypes and shadows of things in Genesis that we see unfold throughout the rest of the scriptures. Now, if Adam was called by God to dress and to keep a California-sized garden, God called California a garden. If he had that responsibility, that meant he could not be limited like we are. For you and I to run through California or Florida, we'll drop dead. But because he was a supernatural, and let me say this, he also was an eternal being. Adam was not going to die before the fall. He was going to live forever. So here he is, given the responsibility to dress and to keep the garden. So God had to give Adam supernatural ability to move from one end of California to the other without getting tired. I'm going somewhere. So Adam was the first prototype. This is why Corinthians calls him, it says he's the first Adam, and it refers to Jesus as what? The last Adam, meaning that Jesus was the last prototype that got it right. Every other one in between could not get it. Even when God put his spirit upon man to carry out functions. So here is Adam, the first prototype, called to dress and to keep. God puts his spirit in Adam. Now let me say this to you. The real you and I is you and I in the spirit. It bothers me when I hear people say, oh, you know, I just got to keep it real. I just got to keep it real. And we call God it keeping it real, talking about the negative, sinful things of our flesh. We call that keeping it real. The reality is the you and I, the Bible says, know no man after the flesh. So if I don't know, if I'm not called to know you after the flesh, that means the real you is you and I in the spirit. You and I in the flesh is not the real us. It is a diluted version of who we're really supposed to be. It is an evil clone of us, but it's not us. I want you to hear what I'm saying to you. God is saying that it's important for you to understand who you are, because who you are in the spirit, when you're walking in the spirit, when you're obeying the spirit, when you're directed by the spirit, that is the real you. And anything else is a war against the real you. This is why Jacob was wrestling in the experience he had with the angel. He was not really wrestling completely with an angel. He was wrestling with his old nature. He didn't want to let it go. The him outside of the spirit realm. This is a picture of what Paul says in the scriptures when he says there was a war in my members. Jacob gives us the best illustration of it, because Paul is saying, listen, I'm anointed, I'm called, I'm spirit-filled, but there was a war going on. And we find him talking more about that in Galatians 5, where I'm going next. But here, the war is happening because the real us is trying to come through, and there is a hindrance. A part of us connected to our old nature. And this is what happened whenever Adam made the choice he did. He opened us up to something. Now, I'm going to take a journey on this medically from a scientific standpoint. Before the fall, Adam did not have headaches. He did not have fear. He did not have anxiety. He did not have worry. He did not doubt. Because to doubt meant that he was doubting the deposit that was put in him, which was God himself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So here is the point. The point is this, that we are living in a space where we are living below. We are living below sometimes what God expects of us because of what he deposited in us. When you are filled with the Spirit, you are filled with God. And what you do is exactly what Jesus did. This is why Jesus was the best prototype. Because him walking on water was him walking on water filled with God. And what that symbolizes is that God has called us to walk over the circumstances, the challenges, the issues, the problems of our life with all of him in us. So when we don't do that, what we do is we give in to a version of who we are that's not connected to God. We give in to a version that is not connected to God. And the Lord told me this. The Lord told me this about a year ago. I was praying, and the Lord told me this especially, and this is especially true for you all, that God said that this house and this people are a supernatural people. I don't think you grabbed what I said. God said that this house and this people are a supernatural people. Whatever you decree on earth, God said, I'm going to cause all the resources of heaven to stand with you on that decree. You're called to walk in the supernatural realms. You're not called to walk in levels. You're called to walk in realms. Levels mean I just went from here to here. That's not going to get a whole lot done. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I can go to the next level. But you're not accomplishing much on the next level. God said, I'm trying to take you into the next dimension of what I'm doing. I'm trying to take you into the next realm of what I'm doing. And you're settling for levels. Levels are earthly. Realms are supernatural. So in Revelations, the book of Revelation, the Bible says that John is in the Spirit on the Lord's day. When he is in the Spirit on the Lord's day, the Bible says that he went so far in the spirit realm that he heard the voice of God behind him. The Bible says the voice of God was coming out of the midst of the golden candlesticks. The golden candlesticks represent the church. The place where God had taken John to was a dimension beyond the church realm. And many people are stuck in the church realm. They can only hear God in the church realm. They can only receive divine revelation in the church realm. And God said, I want to take you beyond just the church realm. Because we're comfortable being spiritual and supernatural in the church realm. We're comfortable dealing with demonic spirits in the church realm. We're comfortable doing things in this place because everybody looks like us. Everybody's talking like us. Everybody's doing things like us. But God said, I want to take you out of the church realm. Yes. Don't limit your gifts to the four walls. Don't limit the prophetic anointing on your life to the four walls. Don't limit your teaching ability to the four walls. God said, I want to take you into the kingdom dimension. Yes. The kingdom dimension will take you into all the world preaching the gospel. I'm going somewhere. When you go into all the world, we're not talking about geographical. We're talking about the systems of the world. Why? Because in the garden, the systems of the world, what just like Adam fell, all the systems were broken down. The education system was broken down. The political system was broken down. Every system was brought subject to the fall. And brought under the influence of Satan. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so God says, I want to fill you with my spirit and take you into a place where you begin to shift the systems. You're wondering where resources are coming from? It's in the system that you refuse to take your prophetic gifting into. Joseph was not a prophet in the church. He was a prophet in Egypt, a sinful culture. And he prophesied and consulted with high-level leaders in that realm, in that place. Daniel was not a prophet in the church. He was a prophet in Babylon. Yes. The systems need the voice of God. The systems need people walking in the supernatural. So God said, I filled you with purpose. I didn't fill Adam just so Adam could be filled with me. I filled Adam so that he would govern the earth the way I govern heaven. And God said, I have put you strategically in places that I called you to govern. And what we do is we compartmentalize. We say, this is just for church, and this is for my job. This is for my career. This is for this. This is for that. And God said, no. The spiritual gifts that I've activated in you by way of the Holy Spirit is so that you would go into all the systems of the world and make disciples. And how? How do we go into the systems of the world and make disciples? Not by going in there and preaching John 3:16. No. No, God said what I'm going to do is give you a strategy to reclaim the systems in my name. He said, in my name, you're going to cast out devils. What that means is I'm going to raise you up to such a status in education where you're going to be a person of influence and you're going to be put in position to reclaim those systems that have been tainted with demonic spirits, that have been tainted with influences that is not of me. I want you to reclaim those systems. This is why the Bible says, and the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. It becomes that when you go into the systems. When you go in with your spirit-filled self, when you go in with your supernatural self, you're going to walk into those systems with a strategy from heaven on how to reclaim the system for God. I told my wife, come out of daydream mode. God has given her a vision for a school. I said, come out of daydream mode. When we're in daydream mode, we talk a lot about what we're going to do, but we never do it. We talk a lot about what we're getting ready to walk into and what we're getting ready to inherit. And God said, I'm waiting for you to do something. I said, God gives provision to where there are plans. Where you have no plans, there will be no provision. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God told you to write the book. You got to start planning it. The money will come when there are plans in place, when there's an infrastructure, when there's a foundation, when there's something that God told you to do, you got to step out. I hear the Holy Ghost saying, many of you have been holding back, and God said, this is your season to walk on water. This is your season to walk on the thing that's intimidating you, that you think you're going to drown in. God said, I gave you the ability to glide on what you thought you were drowning. You're in a supernatural season. You're in a supernatural season. And you need the Holy Ghost in order to walk in the supernatural. And this is why your pastor has been preaching what he's been preaching, because he sees where God wants to, refusing to walk on the thing that's come to drown you. The children of Israel thought that they were going to drown in the Red Sea. They thought that the Red Sea was going to swallow them up. And God said, no, it won't swallow you up. It's going to swallow your enemies up, because I'm getting ready to take you to the promised land. What that means is that when you are filled with the Spirit, God fills you with the Spirit to drown out fear, to drown out worry, to drown out anxiety, to drown out doubt. The Spirit comes to drown anything that doesn't look like God. God said, fear is not me. Don't look like me. I didn't put that in your DNA. I gave you my Spirit and power. And when I gave you my Spirit and power, I gave you enough to drown out anything that doesn't look like my nature. Fear is satanic. And it's meant to rule and dominate you. Now watch this. The Bible says that we are both kings and priests. Priests pray, but kings decree. Kings don't wait for something to manifest. They speak and it comes to pass. I hear what I'm saying. You've got to know the authority you've got. God said, I gave you authority that when you speak a thing, it shall be. Priests pray for strategy. Kings decree. You became, see, in biblical days, kings became kings because they had the effective strategy to win wars. They proved themselves in battle. And God said, I've been giving you little battles, and you haven't been doing what I told you. But you want to live a life on the level of a king. You want to live in the king dimension. But you want the benefits of living in that dimension. But you don't really want the lifestyle of living in that dimension. Because that means that you've got to step out in a level of faith that never doubts anything. That means everything I say, I don't doubt it. Because I know who's backing me. I know who's standing with me. I know who gave it to me to decree anyway. Watch this. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. So the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. Now, kingdoms in biblical days, we understand that kingdoms were places of rulership or reigning for kings, for people who they would govern people, they would govern systems. And so what would happen is when a warrior would conquer an area, conquer a land, the people would choose him as king. When he was chosen as king, he would establish the governmental system. He would establish an education system. He would establish an economic system. He established systems that would impact the lives of the people that he was called to lead. Now, the reason why God has been speaking to you about a business, because he wants to establish his kingdom on earth. Corporations are many kingdoms. Corporations are kingdoms. This is why the Bible says that Jesus is the King of Kings. It's not talking about kings in other countries. It's talking about you and I who run and lead corporations and lead organizations and lead things that God has given to us to establish in the earth realm. And God said, I need corporations that look like how I would run a corporation. I need education systems that look like how I would raise up education systems. I need a political system that looks like me. That's why the Bible said that the government shall be on his shoulders. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Most of us do not grab this because we have a polluted church realm or church sphere, if you will. And we want to be great behind this and behind that. Oh, God, help me. Abraham's greatness was never in a pulpit. God said, Abram, I'm going to make your name great. Watch this, by how you govern and manage and steward what I put in your possession. You're trying to do something, and God said, no, 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 no. This is why we have people jockeying for positions in churches. Everybody want to be a prophet. Everybody want to be an arch something and a this and a that. It is a religious system, watch this, that has no influence. You know what I said to the Lord? God, I thank you that you called me as an apostle, but I'm even more grateful that you called me as an entrepreneur. I'm even more grateful because it is my entrepreneurial calling that gives me influence. I can speak kingdom revelation when I have a door to speak it in. You waiting for a church to speak it in. And God said, I want you at the boardroom, at the meeting, with the top player, my truth. Establish my kingdom on earth. This is why Adam was filled with God. God said, I filled you with my spirit so that you would rule the systems of earth. You receive this revelation today. I'm telling you, God will revolutionize and change your entire life. Something happened to me. Something happened to me. The Lord said, you do not have a clear revelation of my kingdom. And I said, Lord, teach me. I wasn't arrogant. I've been preaching 23 years. I started preaching at 13 years old. I knew the Bible backwards and forwards. That's why you ain't seen me open a whole lot of scriptures. God said, you know it, but you gain revelation on the church dimension. It's a religious system that is polluted. God said, I'm purging the religious system. That's a whole nother thing. God is purging the religious system, and he's sending men and women with true revelation. This is why any and everything is happening in the church today, because it's people that don't have revelation of Jesus. When you got revelation of Jesus, watch this, you have revelation of the kingdom. Because Jesus is the kingdom. And the Lord said to me, he said, you don't have revelation on my kingdom, I'm going to teach you. I said, okay, Lord. I went and did study, and then God sent some men to disciple me in it. And what God did was, he said, now I want you to see something. You've been separating your calling and saying, this call, this is for the church, and this is for business. And God said, why are you doing that? He said, do you notice when I handpicked my disciples, not one of them was a rabbi? He said, not one of them was a preacher or a priest. He said 80%, 70% of them, well, all of them were self-employed. Watch this. All of them were entrepreneurs. And one of them was a real estate investor. The Lord told me, he said, go and study all of them. It'll come to me in 1 minute. He said all of them were investors. Watch this. Why were they investors? Because their God was. Their God is an investor. God said, I put me in you so that you can reduplicate who I am in the earth. This is why the scripture says, he told Adam, be fruitful, multiply, replenish. Now watch this. The last two terms are kingdom terms, subdue and have dominion. That means have influence. God said, so I said, Lord, okay, I think I got a little bit of understanding now. So here's what the Lord did. I've only been out of the country a handful of times in my life. And the Lord had me to meet somebody, and he said, I want you to get a ticket. I want you to go to London. And I said, okay, I guess I'm going to London. Watch this. I didn't have the money to go to London because my money was tied up in some investments and some things that God had already put on my spirit. So God said, the type of church I've called you to lead, the type of movement I called you to lead is to lead influencers. The Lord shifted me. A lot of people will call me for the money. God said, no. I called you. I'm shifting the dimension. I'm adding. I'm stretching. This is why the Bible talks about length, breadth, height, and depth. There must be dimensions to your faith. Some of us have surface, paper-thin faith. It's long, but it's real thin. Exactly. And God said to me, I want to show you something. Went to London. I'm sitting in this meeting. There's 120 entrepreneurs who are all believers in the room, all of them. So I'm sitting in there, and while I'm there, the guy who was facilitating the meeting called me up to speak for about 10, 15 minutes. I'm sitting at the table, and there's a guy sitting next to me who owns a company that's worth 100 million pounds, which is more than American dollars. 100 million pounds, sitting right there. I didn't know who he was. Across from me was a woman who was a member of parliament, which is a high-level government position, okay? So she's sitting across from me. An Olympic gold medalist is sitting on the left side of me. Now, I'm sitting here thinking I'm just at a business meeting. God said, I invited you to the next place of influence. You being in the room is an invitation for your next level of influence. See, sometimes we think we just get an invitation to, and God said, the invitation you receive could be the invitation to your next dimension, your next place, the next place that I want to pull you. I don't know what I'm going to say in this room. All these people got businesses, and some of them got more money than I got. Watch this. God said to me, money is not always the marker of influence. It is who is willing to respond to the voice that's in you. What's the voice that's in you? God. When God gives you an anointing in an area, you have gone through hell, and God has carved a special place in you for him in that area. That's why you have a bend toward it. You have a bend toward business or real estate because God carved that place out for him, and he wants to show his glory in real estate. He wants to show his glory in education. He wants to show his glory in government. He carved that place out. This is why you went through sleepless nights of getting degrees and losing sleep and all. You went through hell because God said, I'm carving out a place in me. Oh. So I'm at the meeting, and I stood up, and the Lord said, just say this. And I said, impoverished nations cannot win wars. The wealthiest nation and the smallest army is in Israel. Notice nobody really fights Israel. They try. Don't get far. I'm not here as a proponent for that. I'm not here to talk about that. But here's what I'm saying to you. That what God was doing is inviting me to the next place of influence. Now watch this. The word influence, if you break that word up, it's influence. The word fluence means flowing or flow. So the word influence means flowing into. Flowing into. Now watch this. The reason why you gather here is to receive a flow into you. The reason you receive the flow into you is so that what's flowing into you, when you step out on Monday morning, can flow out of you. I'm sitting in that meeting, and I said, impoverished nations do not win wars. And I said, God wants to strategically place us in the top 10% of influence in every industry in the world. Why? For his kingdom's sake. You will not gain prosperity just because you want a lot of money. You will gain prosperity because God needs you in that seat at the gate of power. So I'm sitting there and I said that. He spoke to people, left, got on a plane, came back. The gentleman who was sitting next to me called me and said, hey. He said, Apostle Nathan, how are you? I said, I'm great. Who are you? He told me his name, told me how I met him. And he said to me, I've been praying. And I asked God. He said, I asked the Lord for a man of God in business that lived in Atlanta. We're trying to do some business in Atlanta, and we need a gateway. Met with him, met with his team. His team had a somewhat of a prejudice, bias, whatever thing. We broke through that, and they gave me a contract. Now, I'm going to show you something, because I believe in transparency, all right? Gave me a contract. And it required me to meet and connect with the mayor and some major people in Atlanta that I did not have a doorway to. I didn't have a doorway to. And so I was going and moving forward in the contract. Long story short, the contract ended and the job did not get done. And I went to prayer and I said, Lord, you told me you invited me here to bring me to the next place of influence. He said, I invited you to show you what I showed the children of Israel, the promised land. Now, watch this. It's going to take your faith to get you there. I'm not handing it to you, Nathan. I'm going to show you what's possible. And then I'm going to see what you do with it. We want God to just. God said, I want to show you what's possible. And I want to see how you work your faith. I want to see how you work your measure. If you work your measure right, it'll move you into places you only dreamed that you would be. And I hear a strong word from the Lord that God is opening some gateways for some of you in this house. And God said, you have gone through much trial, much tribulation, many issues, but I did that because I wanted to show you what I was building in you. Sometimes we go through things because God is building a well of wisdom and insight in that area. Don't go another day. You don't below the realm you're called to live in. You don't have the Holy Spirit just to speak in tongues. Stop diminishing his intelligence and his ability to move in your life. You're limited to the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are great, but the gifts of the Spirit are meant to be used in a context that will advance the kingdom. Your pastor has been a great model for you. Both of them have been a great model for you. What you guys are launching out to entrepreneurially is just scratching the surface. God said, I want to give you a strategy for more. You gotta wait because you need a strategy for more. You can't rush this thing. It took me 23 years to get to this place of revelation. Didn't happen when I was 13 and 14. I didn't know what I was talking about. But God was building something. And when God is building something, watch this. He said, you're going to bear fruit and fruit that will remain. Yes. You will not be a light flickering church. You're not going to be here today and gone tomorrow. We establish businesses and we move in systems to leave legacy. Sometimes the challenge of our ministries is that we do not think beyond one generation. You know why I love this church? Because you're a multi-generational church. You know, the Lord said to me, he said, a church that is only built on one generation is not a move of God. A move of God pulls every generation to it because every generation is attracted to the moving of the Spirit of God. Hear what I'm saying? God is trying to release something to you. This is a call for you to now expand, to move beyond the borders of mediocrity, to move beyond the borders of just scratching, just trying to make it, just trying to get by. Don't live like that no more. You're living below what God has said you're supposed to obtain. And I'm taking power in the house and no power that's in my spirit. Don't be a house full of power in the house and no power out of it. The Bible says that light shines out of darkness. You ought to be touching every system. There's enough educated, anointed, gifted, talented people in this house that you ought to be touching every system. I told a church recently that God said, why aren't you raising up young people who are going to become models? Why do we leave that to secular? Why do we say that's secular? You don't think that God wants people who are beautiful to model clothing in that industry to attract people who don't know him? And we say that's for the world to do. God said, I need everybody. I need people in every industry. I need people in every industry. Because here's what God said, I'm establishing, I'm advancing, I'm expanding my kingdom. The kingdom is not the church. Let me help you. The kingdom is the sovereign reign and rule of God. The church is the vehicle that displays the kingdom. Jesus came announcing the kingdom, and revival broke out everywhere. We don't hear Jesus ever use the term revival. Why? Because it was housed within the announcement of the kingdom. Jesus said the manifestation, that is, the manifestation of the kingdom is when dead men come back to life. What we call revival is the kingdom. It is a manifestation, let me say that, of the kingdom. This is it. Thy kingdom come. When you pray that prayer, it is a prayer of warfare. God has called you. God has called you to do more, to go beyond. He filled you with his spirit. System of the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand with me. I pray you receive something from the Lord. We're getting ready to change corrupt systems. We're getting ready to establish kingdoms so that the king will be present in every system and industry. God is calling you to a higher place. He's calling you to a higher place. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't say what you don't have. Don't say what you don't have. God said, don't say what you don't have. I hear some of you in my spirit, but I don't have this, and I don't know this person, and I don't have this resource, and I don't have this connection. And God says, stop saying what you don't have. Stop saying what you don't have. The woman who the debtors were coming to take everything because her husband had died. She had no source of income. And the prophet said, what do you have in the house? I don't want to know what you don't have. I know what you don't have. But what do you have in the house? Now watch this. We are the house of the Holy Spirit. You went to school so the Holy Spirit could use that education. You went through the training and so the Holy Spirit could use it for the temple. And there is coming a mighty shift in this house. God said, I'm taking you to the next dimension of glory. And it will not be able to be contained in this house. It's going to spill out into every sector. True revival spills out into all of culture. I want you to lift your hands and receive this today. It may not be coming the way you used to it, but I'm telling you that God said, I'm setting you up. I'm setting you up to put you in divine strategic places because I need you there. I need you there. I need you there. I need you there. I hear the Lord saying, I need you in these systems. I need you in these systems. The reason the Holy Spirit has been dealing with you about going back to school is because God needs you in a specific system. The reason why the Spirit of God has been dealing with you about real estate and getting your finances in order, because I need you to own property. I don't want you to own just a house. I want you to own the block. You can't tell a devil to leave a region that you don't own. Same in the spirit realm, which you're trying to claim in the spirit realm what you don't own in the natural. When you own property in a land, in a region, whatever is going wrong in that region has to come subject to the landlords of the region. God said, I want to position you, and I'm going to position you to not just own one house, not just own one church, not just own one building, but I'm going to give you centers. I'm going to give you strategy for communities. I'm going to give you economic strategies. I'm going to give you strategies to reclaim the education system. I'm going to give you strategy to reconstruct the political system. It will be work. It will require prayer. It will require you being saturated with me. But I'm positioning you there. Come on. Begin to worship. Come on, begin to worship. Come on, begin to worship. God said, I want to unlock strategies to you. I want to give you a glimpse of where I'm taking you. I want to show you the promised land of where I want to take you. And I know you feel like a grasshopper in your own sight because you're looking and comparing yourself to what you're up against. But the Spirit of God is saying, don't compare yourself to what you're up against, but compare yourself. Look at yourself the way I see you.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.